Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here. Getaway Friday, January the 29th, 2021. 17 minutes past the hour. And we've got two big questions on the table here. Are we going to get them answered? Now, the first question is a chocolate egg cream. And don't look this up, but we're trying to figure out what are the three ingredients that are in a chocolate egg cream. The drink. Now, what we know so far, milk. We have one of them. Milk is one of the ingredients. Now, chocolate is one of the ingredients, but we have not had the correct type of chocolate guessed yet. You have to tell me the right type of chocolate. What is the right type of chocolate that is in a chocolate egg cream? And then there's a third ingredient that we have not guessed yet. The three ingredients that go in to making up a chocolate egg cream. And do not Google this, because I will know if you have Googled this without question. Some people just cannot hold their reserve. Go ahead, caller.
Is it Hershey's syrup?
Hershey's syrup. Well, it doesn't have to be Hershey's, but yeah, chocolate syrup is what you need. So do you know what the third ingredient is?
No, we got two out of three.
We got two out of three, but we don't have the third ingredient yet.
Okay.
Keep thinking. All right. So now we've got two out of three. It doesn't have to be Hershey's. It can be really any type of syrup. But what you need is the chocolate syrup, and then you need milk. So basically at this point you could make chocolate milk. But there is a third ingredient that makes it a chocolate egg cream. Does anybody know what that third ingredient would be? And again, it's a weird thing to make a chocolate egg cream, because if you've never had one, you wouldn't know how it's supposed to taste. And the measurements, you know, it's hard to measure. You just kind of got to know how much to put in there. So it's of each ingredient. What's the third ingredient in a chocolate egg cream? Go ahead, caller.
How about ice cream?
Not ice cream, but that's a good guess. No ice cream in a chocolate egg cream. What is the third ingredient that makes up a chocolate egg cream? We've got chocolate syrup. We've got milk. But what is the third item? And like I say, the measurements on this, you just really have to know how to do it. And you can screw it up very easy, because really what you might end up with is chocolate milk if you screw it up wrong, or stir it up wrong, because you do have to stir it after you put all the three ingredients in. So what goes into making a chocolate egg cream? We've got chocolate syrup, milk. And what is the third answer? And once I get the third answer, I'll tell you how it got its name. Because we do know there are no eggs and there is no cream in it. But it's an interesting story about how chocolate egg cream got its name. 740-383-9944. Now, just to this Jack and Diane thing just for a minute. The John Mellencamp song. If you're just tuning in, Jack and Diane is one of John Mellencamp's big songs. But apparently we learned yesterday that John Mellencamp lives in Cambodia now with a whole bevy of his fans, which is probably, you know what, got to be six or seven people. So I guess they serve him there in Cambodia. Why? We have no idea. But does anybody understand this? And does anybody know why this is going on with John Mellencamp not performing anymore? Go ahead, caller.
How about soda?
Not pop. No pop. Pop is not the third ingredient in a chocolate egg cream. What is the third ingredient in a chocolate egg cream? We've got Hershey syrup. We've got milk. And what is the third ingredient? It is not pop. All right, 740-383-9944. Okay, has anybody checked out the John Mellencamp thing? Is he really living in Cambodia and with fans? And does he really have them serving him? Or is that just like a Facebook thing? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And I'm trying to figure out, I want to get these Jack and Diane lyrics up here. Go ahead, caller.
Scott, I'm calling about the chocolate egg cream that you've got two ingredients but not the third.
Yes.
I think maybe it might be that marshmallow cream or marshmallows.
You know, that's a good guess. It's not the marshmallow cream, but that's a good guess.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, bye-bye. Not marshmallow cream. Three ingredients that go into making a chocolate egg cream. We've got chocolate syrup. We've got milk. And there is a third item. Does anybody know what that third item is that goes into making a chocolate egg cream? And once I know what that third item is, I'll tell you how it got its name. Because, again, there are no eggs or cream in a chocolate egg cream. So, the Jack and Diane lyrics, has anybody checked out to see if John Mellencamp is really in Cambodia with fans? Okay, let's see here. Where's the refrain in this song? Okay, yeah, here it is. Here's the refrain to Jack and Diane. Now, you tell me what this means. Now, you know, a lot of songs and a lot of poetry are really just interpretation. But here's the lyric, okay? Life goes on long after the thrill of living is gone. That's the refrain, and you say it twice. Does anybody know what that means? Okay, it's kind of an obscure line. Now think about this. Life goes on long after the thrill of living is gone. Now, I know what life is. And I know what living is, but this little refrain here, I have no idea what this means. Life goes on long after the thrill of living is gone. That is the Jack and Diane refrain. Now, there are many, many questions with this. First of all, why does a song called Jack and Diane have a lyric, life goes on long after the thrill of living is gone? Have no idea. What does that mean? What's the meaning behind that? You know, because people will sing this. I mean, the refrain is what you usually remember from a song. People will sing this at John Mellencamp concerts, if they were still having John Mellencamp concerts. But apparently, he's in Cambodia. Wonder how he ended up there with fans. Very strange. Okay. Any interpretations, or does anybody know the third ingredient in a chocolate egg cream? Go ahead, caller.
What about the part where it says, hold on to 16 as long as you can. Changes come around real soon, make us women and men. How do you not get the essence of the song, Scott?
No, I get that line. Because it's saying,
well,
don't grow up.
It just means you gotta live life while you're young, because when you get older, everything's a drag. And there's another song I could put you on to, the Rolling Stones. What a drag it is getting old.
Now wait, that's what that refrain means?
That's what it means to me. I guess maybe other people might have a different interpretation. And if you want to know where I got my information about his Cambodian residence, which he's rich, so he probably has houses everywhere. If you just
That's debatable. What did he get rich off of?
You know how we used to go round about Patrick Swayze? This going to be like
that. Oh, gosh, don't even bring up Patrick Swayze.
The man had 10 number one hits in the 80s. You act like he was just some kind of fly-by-night one-hit wonder.
Well, wait a second. 10 number one hits. Now, okay, I remember Small Town. Now, that song's okay. I can understand that. But what other songs did he have?
Just the ones that I know at the top of my head. There's Pink Houses, the song he talks about, Little Pink Houses. There's Jack and Diane, R.O.C.K. in the USA. There was something about Scarecrows. I'm talking about, I don't know, I think the word Scarecrows in there somewhere. I don't know. But some of his songs got more radio play than others.
I understand that.
I mean, I'm not like a walking encyclopedia of John Mellencamp, but if you look it up, I mean, it's right there on the internet. And another thing, go to Google. If you go to Google and you type them, like I did, sucking on a chili dog, because those are the lyrics from Jack and Diane, just that's all you have to type in, sucking on a chili dog. The very first article that you can read, that's, if you pull that up, right underneath of, the very first article is where it talks about the interviewer taking and getting in a boat, going down a river to where he was at in Cambodia to his residence and conducting the interview.
Now, did you read the interview?
Oh, I did. I read the whole thing. I don't suggest you read it online, like over the on the air, because the guy cusses a lot. But I did. It was pretty interesting.
John Mellencamp uses bad language?
The interviewer and John Mellencamp, I think, both did.
why are they so...
I don't know why they do what they do.
Okay. Well, did we find out why he's in Cambodia in that article?
Well, I don't know. Maybe, I don't remember thinking that it said why he moved there, but maybe it's beautiful there. Maybe it's peaceful. Maybe he's, like, searching for some kind of zen after dedicating the best years of his life to entertaining his loyal fans.
Oh, you think?
Maybe.
Because here's the thing. Have you ever read what this song means? I mean, I'm not saying, you know, I don't know how he intended it in the 80s, but have you ever looked this thing up in, like, an urban dictionary? I mean, it's a very vulgar song.
Well, compared to a lot of songs that they put out today, I think it's really mild.
Well, no, I mean, do you know what
the... What's so vulgar about it?
Well, do you know... See, and I don't even want to get into this, because it's such a bad thing to even talk about on the radio. And I didn't come up with this. But if you look this up on the internet, do you know what that phrase that you were just saying is really hidden message behind it is?
What phrase? We just did a whole lot of talking.
Well, all I'll say, because I'm trying not to get deep into it, because, I mean, people are going to know right away as soon as I say it.
The chili dog part?
The chili dog.
Yeah, they're messy. Like, it gets all over you.
No, that's not what they're talking about. Well, at least that's not what the Urban Dictionary says they're talking about.
Well, that's my interpretation. That's how I interpret it.
But why is John Mellencamp in Cambodia? That's the question I want to know.
People, I mean, don't you have plans for, like, once you get done doing what you're doing? Like, people have things they want to do. Maybe they want to see the world.
I'm just going to ride the city bus around town.
That's all the farther you're going to get.
That's all. I'm just going to circle town and see what I can come up with. But I don't understand why this guy, if he
I'll
was...
call you back, Scott. I got to go.
Okay. Say hello. Toodles. Say hello. Bye-bye. I don't understand this whole song. Okay, I just don't know. But the refrain that we're really talking about here, does anybody have the interpretation of life goes on long after the thrill of living is gone? Life goes on long after the thrill of living is gone. Okay, now the nearest interpretation that I can come up with of that is that you're still alive even though you're not having fun anymore. Now, what kind of refrain is that? That's not a good refrain. That's probably why he ended up in Cambodia. Go ahead, caller. Yes.
Life goes on. They were talking about being together, and you can't say a word on the radio.
Oh, so this is after they got together.
They were together when they split, but the thrill was there while they were together. And you can't say a word on the radio.
Right, but after that, it was over.
Right.
Okay, well, thank you. Now, see, there's an interpretation that's interesting. Now, see, I would not have interpreted it that way. What I get out of that line is that you're still alive, you're still living, but you have no reason to live. Which, see, that's kind of depressing. That's not really a good lyric. That's not a pick-me-up lyric. Life goes on long after the thrill of living is gone. Well, you want to have living, you know, you want to have the thrill of living as long as you're alive, you know? Just me. 740-383-9944. Song interpretation here this morning on WWGH Radio. And what is in a chocolate egg cream? Three ingredients. Now, we've got two of them. Chocolate syrup and milk are two of the ingredients in a chocolate egg cream. What's the third ingredient in a chocolate egg cream? Does anybody know? 740-383-9944. You've had a little bit of time to think about it here. Don't Google it. If you Google it, there's trouble. Go ahead, caller. Are you there, caller? I think our caller did not make it. If that's you, call back in. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Looking for the third ingredient in a chocolate egg cream drink. Chocolate syrup, milk. What's the third ingredient? No eggs, no cream. 740-383-9944. And since we're talking about this whole John Mellencamp thing and going to Cambodia and all this, you know, what the caller was referring to there, and this has been a conversation we had a long time ago, but, you know, Patrick Swayze, God rest his soul, he's went on to his reward. Okay, we'll come back to this in a second. Go ahead, caller. Caller.
He's talking about the thrill of being young and free and single and doing basically what you want. After you grow up, you get married, you have kids, that thrill's not there anymore.
Well, see, that's sad, though, because, you know, if you're still married to your wife, you want to hope that...
But it's not like it was when you were young. You know, you have those memories of, I used to be able to do this and that and something else, and I can't do that anymore.
So you take it as you're still alive, but you can't do the things you used to do.
So you've never gotten married and had kids or anything like that, so you're still living the thrill of being young.
Oh, so you're saying...
You don't have any ties on you, you know, nobody's taking your time and what have you. And once you get older, you get married, you have kids, things are not the same. You don't have that thrill of being young, where you could spend your money on anything you wanted to, go anywhere you wanted to.
So you think this is about being tied down?
Well, yeah. After you get older, then you're tied down. The thrill that you had of living your life then is gone.
Now, isn't this the reason that we shouldn't get married and shouldn't have kids if we feel that way?
No. He was sowing his wild oats, basically, in the song.
But is he Jack?
Well, sure.
Well, who's Diane?
That's his girlfriend.
See, here's what I don't understand about this song, is that, okay, so he's basically reminiscing about his childhood.
Well, not necessarily. That's how he's building the song around. A young guy sowing his wild oats with a gal named Diane. They're going to Tasty Freeze and eat the chili dog and sitting under the shade tree, and when he was younger, and after he got older, that the thrill of living that kind of life is gone.
Yeah, but you know,
you'll understand once you get married and have kids.
Well, yeah, but you know what? See, here's the thing. I would think that if I was having this issue with you know, like reminiscing about younger life, why does I think about this sometimes, because I'm not 20 anymore. Why does everybody look back to high school, and if you go to college, why do they look back on that as the highlight of your life? I mean, I didn't have a bad time in high school or college, but I don't look to that as the highlight of my life.
I used to work with a fellow, and he would talk about his younger life when he was playing baseball, and he got to play against the Cincinnati Reds and different things like that. And I told him one time, I said, you're a legend in your own mind.
Right. You know, I don't know. What are people doing? You know, I would think that in your high school and college years, you're too busy. I mean, you're certainly a lot busier. You're trying to write papers.
Oh, yeah.
You're trying to meet deadlines. You're probably working your first jobs, which aren't paying you very much. You're not really doing the kind of work you want to do. I don't think that's a very romantic time to remember. I think once you get into the career you want to get into, and you get around the people you want to be around, and your time's freed up, I would think, you know, that would be the happier time. Why do people reminisce about those teen and early 20s?
Did you ever hear the term the good old days?
Well, right, but why? I would think the good old days.
If you would look back at the good old days, they weren't good old days, but it's been long enough ago that they've become good. And the longer it is, the better they were.
Yeah, but you know what's funny? Here's the thing that I've noticed. Like, people who live good long lives, like into their 80s, if you talk to somebody in their 80s, they'll talk about how good their 60s were. So everything...
The 50s, the 40s, and the 30s, and 20s.
Right, but you know...
If I look back on my life, I wouldn't change anything. I had a ball.
Right, but so when is the... What decade did you like the best? Because there has to be one that's the best. Well, see, so this song doesn't make any sense to you then either.
Well, yeah, before you get into the next, let's say when I was in my 30s, I would think back to my 20s and think, man, that was a great time. Why can't I do that anymore? Because by the 30s, I was married with kids. They were in sports and what have you. So, you know, that time was gone.
So the 20s were better than the
30s? Well, sure.
Okay, so the 20s were your best...
The 40s, the 40s are better than the 50s.
So really, it's been a progressive thing.
Well, sure.
See, but I don't think it is... See, but I don't think it is with everybody, because... Okay, I'll give you an example, because it's fresh in my mind. Like Larry King, okay? Larry King went around in broadcasting from the time he was 20... until the time he died. But he did not get national fame until he was 52 years old. He was working at little radio stations. He was kind of obscure. He was not in movies. He did not get national fame until he was 52 years old. The CNN show started when he was 52.
Right.
So I'm guessing Larry, if you would have asked him, would have probably told you that the best time of his life was 52. Was the 50s. I don't think he was having the best time in his 20s.
Well, I bet if you talked to him, he would say that, you know, that was the prime of his life when he was young and could do anything. He had no ties on him. You know, when I was young and single, I took off one day and just drove to California. I wouldn't do that today.
Now, see, why not? Why not? You're probably financially better off now than you were then.
Oh, absolutely.
So why
absolutely.
Wouldn't you do it now?
Time constraints. Obligations. I didn't have any obligations back then.
So what obligation at this point would keep you from going?
Family, job, everything.
So you didn't have a job back then?
In fact, I had just quit a job, and I was mad, so I took off for California.
Well, that's different. You know, that's a moment in time, though. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think...
It was great.
Well, yeah, I'm sure it was. But I think that... I don't know. I think the best time... Like, if you're bullied as a child, let's say you're bullied, or you have a really tough time in college, I bet your 20s are not the best time of your life. Yeah,
I think we lost the caller. But does anybody have a thought on... This is an interesting topic. What's the best decade of your life? This is... It's an interesting shoot-off of this John Mellencamp song. But what was the best decade of your life so far? See, I don't think everybody thinks their teens and their 20s was the best decade. I think some people get success and happiness later. Like, I will tell you, I had a grandparent. Let me try to tell this story as vaguely as I can. I had a grandparent who raised 5 kids, and, okay, we're going to take the call here, and I'll come back to this in a second. Go ahead, caller.
Scott, what I think about that John Mellencamp song, Jack and Diane, it's actually a man's world out here.
As far as?
Well, everything. Everything is, men are stronger. Men are braver. Little boys, when they're young, my son, when he was about a year and a half old, I was getting ready to go somewhere, and he told me he would cry if I left. And he put his hands on his hips right before he did that and said, "Me not scared of nothing." He couldn't say nothing because he's only a year and a half old. But, little boys are strong. They're brave. That's why so many males die, because they're brave out here. They speed, whereas ladies, most ladies don't do that. I mean, there's some that do it. But majority of speeders are males. And so, you really should understand that song because you're a man.
Well, right, but here's the thing I don't understand. I understand that physically men are stronger, and physically, I understand that. But from a woman's perspective, from your perspective, now we just heard the male perspective from the last caller, what's the best decade of your life?
Well, I believe my best year was when I had my children.
So now what? How old would you have been in that time?
I was in my 20s.
20s. Mm-hmm. So now, why was that the best decade? Because
Having children, of your own, going through your pregnancy for 9 months, 10 months, 40 weeks, there's a bond there that's never broken, because once you're a mother, it's for life. But, that's how I look at it, life. I really think that the people having the children today without, two parents, I just can't imagine a child growing up without both parents. But still, to me... that was the best time of my life.
Well, I'll tell you something interesting, and this is what I was saying when you called in, and I want to get your perspective on this, but I had a grandparent who, a grandmother, and she lived a good long life, and she raised 5 kids of her own, and she was married for, close to 50 years. Now, the interesting thing was, she had her kids kind of consecutively, and she had them young, probably, I think the first one came when she was 19, but then she had him in her 20s as well, because she had 5, and she was married, and she was working, and she was, busy. And then when they all got grown, and the grandkids came along, and then she finally got to retirement age, and she did end up ending the marriage, which I don't think was the best
thing in her life. I don't think she really enjoyed the marriage anymore. So when she got to be 65, she didn't have any kids to take care of anymore. She was certainly financially better off because she didn't have to take care of kids, and she was divorced. She didn't have to take care of the husband anymore. She was on her own for the first time in her life because she moved right out of her house with her father into the house with her husband. She got to make her own decisions. She had all the time in the world because she no longer worked. She was in good health, and I think her best decade was her late 60s and all through her 70s.
Yes, I understand that.
So, you know, I don't know that being a, you know, I think sometimes those early years are hard.
Yeah, would I do it again? No. I think what people should do is, you know, get out of high school, graduate from high school, go to college, and be more prepared before you have children. That part, I did not go to college, so, you know, I was not, but, you know, it's a natural, it's what we're born for, is to produce, you know, in life. And so that's, I think, is the only thing raging in, you know, in a male and female's mind is, you know, the hormones and everything that, you know, makes you want to go forward in that direction. But I believe they should be more prepared before they have children, you know, and go that route.
Well, it certainly is a thought. Well, I thank you for calling.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye. All right, it's an interesting thing. What is the best decade of your life so far? And obviously, if you're listening to this program, you're still alive, which is good. But what's the best decade? You know, I know a lot of people who were very awkward in school, in high school and college. And then when they got some time on their hands, some of them started going to the gym, they started going to the tanning bed, they started going, getting their hair done. I'm talking girls mostly in this case. And they changed. I think they would probably consider that a better time than when they were young. And some people grow up very poor. Very poor. And then they get a good job. And I think that changes. I think you tend not to, you might look back on your childhood as a rough time, as a difficult time. So I don't know this whole jazz about your teens and your 20s being the best time of your life. I think, you know, I don't understand why people, well, I do understand in a way, but I don't understand logically why people have kids and get married if they think that's the end of the best time of their life. Now, I don't think people go into it thinking that, but a lot of people, that becomes the end result, is, oh, the marriage and the kids put an end to my life. It tied me down. But then they're always quick to tell you, well, but I love my kids more than anything, and, you know, I'm glad I got married. And I'm sure that's true. But then they also refer to it in the same context as ending the best time of their life. So I don't know. It's a little shaky, if you ask me. I'm looking forward to retirement. I think that'll be the best time of my life. Retirement. When I don't have to worry about anything anymore, and I can just sit at home and sit on the porch, watch the cars go by, or by that point, who knows what'll be flying by. What's the best decade of your life? 740-383-9944. All right, we still don't have the chocolate egg cream thing figured out 50 minutes past the hour. The famous drink, chocolate egg cream. Now, we've got two ingredients. There are only three, so we're only one away here. It's chocolate syrup, milk. What is the third ingredient? Does anybody know? And by the way, we'll do Family Feud next hour. But a chocolate egg cream, chocolate syrup, milk, and what is the third item we're not getting here? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And again, if the phone line's ringing busy, just means we're on the line with somebody else. Give us a buzz with 10 minutes left to go in this hour. Now, next hour, we will do the Family Feud. And then coming up at 11 o'clock, we'll have the Pastor Spot with Pastor Steve Whitaker. And then at 12 o'clock, we'll have the Exchange Club. Now, today, I'm not sure. what's going to happen at noon. We may have the people we had the last week. We may not. We'll figure it out. But we will be live from 12:15 to 1 p.m. today. So we'll see how that all works out as the morning progresses here on WWGH Radio. Chocolate egg cream. Go ahead, caller.
Was that a peppermint stick?
Not a peppermint stick, but that's a good guess.
Okay.
Thank you. Not a peppermint stick going into the chocolate egg cream. But what we're looking for is the third ingredient in a chocolate egg cream, the drink. Now, we have chocolate syrup and we have milk, but what is the third ingredient in a chocolate egg cream? Does anybody know? And do not Google it. Let me see if I can tell you the name now, since we have two of the ingredients. Let me see here. Oh, you know what? I think I can tell you how it got its name. Because the two ingredients, I think, that gave it its name were the chocolate syrup and the milk. Okay. One theory as to how the name came about was that grade A milk was typically used to make the drink, and the name was chocolate egg cream. And it eventually became egg cream. Another origin, a bit more simple, the name egg cream is an Americanization of Echt-Keem, Echt-Keem, which is a Yiddish term for pure sweetness. I would imagine the first one is probably more likely, that it was grade A milk was used, so it actually was called chocolate egg cream, but over time it became chocolate egg cream. But there is no egg in it. So it's not an egg. Now, here's an interesting fact about it, by the way. According to most historians, the egg cream was allegedly created in the early 1900s by a Jewish candy shop owner, Louis Oster, who came to America and opened a candy store in Brooklyn, New York. It is reported that 3,000 egg creams a day were sold until the day the store closed. How about that? 3,000 of these were sold a day at Louis Oster's store in Brooklyn until it closed. So it was a popular drink. But, you know, and I imagine the milk is what they're considering cream. And chocolate syrup is obviously the chocolate. So what's the third ingredient in a chocolate egg cream? A chocolate egg cream has a third ingredient. Does anybody know what it is? And it's not an egg. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And if you've never had one of these, if you know the three ingredients, which I would like to tell you the third one, so I hope somebody gets it, you could go to the store and probably, well, you could make a ton of these because obviously you're going to get enough ingredients for more than just one. You could probably make these, I'm going to guess, for under, well, buying all the items, you could buy all the items for under, I'm going to say $7. You know, you could buy a gallon of milk, and that's a lot of milk. That's going to make a few egg creams. Obviously, a bottle of chocolate syrup, you're going to use that on a lot of egg creams. And the third item, you would probably get, I would say 5 or 6, maybe more than that, maybe 7 out of the third item. So you could probably have, you could probably make an egg cream for under, maybe under $1. Well, probably more than that, because when you divide up what you're using milk-wise and what you're using chocolate syrup-wise and what you're using from the third item, it's, you probably could make them up for a quarter, a drink. And if you like them, you might drink them all the time. And it's probably a little better for you than just straight chocolate milk. But again, that comes to the measurements of this whole thing, because if you measure it wrong, it's not going to taste like an egg cream. It's going to taste more like chocolate milk, because you've got chocolate syrup and milk in it. Does anybody know what the third ingredient in a chocolate egg cream is? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz. 740-383-9944. The third ingredient in a chocolate egg cream behind chocolate syrup and milk. What's the third ingredient? Now, best decade of your life. Does anybody have any thoughts on this? What was the best decade of your life? We're having kind of a... The discussion came from the old John Mellencamp song here this morning. I don't know if it's always your 20s and your teens. Matter of fact, I think most people would probably not say their 20s and their teens. I mean, health-wise, probably, but I don't know. Overall, probably not. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott, was that vanilla? Is that vanilla in that, maybe?
Not vanilla, but that's a good guess, too.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. Not vanilla. The third ingredient in a chocolate egg cream. That's what we're looking. Not vanilla. Milk and chocolate syrup, but what is the third ingredient in a chocolate egg cream? 740-383-9944. Go ahead, caller.
You said it was the soda shop makes it. Would they use carbonated water or something?
Well, seltzer. They call it seltzer. But yeah, carbonated water, seltzer.
Okay.
Yeah. Seltzer is the third item. But you know, the interesting thing is you have to make it... you've got to get the proportions right or you get chocolate milk pretty much. And the proportions, you've really got to just have somebody who knows how to make them, make them. Because if you don't, it can get screwed up very easy.
Well, the soft ice cream, like the Frosties, those are basically made with like milk and chocolate syrup, but they cool it or freeze it, and it gets whipped, and it whips air into it, and that's how you get a Frosty.
Well, you know, a Frosty...
You let one set, it just turns to chocolate milk.
Well, you know, a Frosty, to me, always tastes like a malt.
Yeah. It has air whipped into it. It's basically chocolate milk with air whipped into it to make it and frozen.
So there's no...
Like a frozen dessert.
There's no malt powder in there?
No. Because you take... Just get your Junior Frosty and just let it set. And it'll turn to chocolate milk.
Huh. Well, I'll have to look into that.
It has like 60% air whipped into it.
You know, I've let a Frosty melt before, and it always just looks sticky, and it doesn't really have the concentration of milk. It just looks like a sticky, oozy kind of a mess.
Oh, but if you drink it, it tastes just like chocolate milk.
Well, I don't know. To me, it doesn't, but maybe to other people it does. Like chocolate milk to me is very liquid. It's like a gallon of milk. But a Frosty,
yeah,
even when it's melted, is thick. It's got a thickness to it.
And you're like McDonald's. They have what they call a mix that they put in, and it whips air into it. When your ice cream cone melts, it's just like having milk.
You know, but I've had a McDonald's chocolate milkshake, and it does not taste like a Frosty. A Frosty...
No, you're right.
Right, but I think there's malt. I think there's malted milk that concoction is in there.
Might be.
And that's... Yeah.
I'll get these Juniors, and I'll set them on the table, and sometimes I forget to eat them right away, and they're melted, and I just drink them.
Why not? Well, you don't waste the food. Well, hey, thanks for calling.
Well, don't want to waste them, yeah.
That's right. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, we got to go to break. We're going to come back and play some Family Feud after the 10 o'clock hour. But if you ever wanted to know what was in a chocolate egg cream, it's chocolate syrup, milk, and seltzer water, otherwise known pretty much as carbonated water. But you've got to get the proportions right. And you've got to stir it up at the end because it will set. And you've also got to know how to put it in. You've got to know what goes first, what goes in the middle, and what goes last. And that's how you kind of get the proportions right. But that's a chocolate egg cream, chocolate syrup, milk, and a seltzer, otherwise known as carbonated water. We'll be back in 15 minutes with Family Feud.
That's witches, as in Halloween. And darling, after I had the first, that first beautiful facelift, I never again was offered a witch role.
Is that right?
Now that tells you a lot.
It definitely does.
And my social life improved.
The talk show Pioneer